Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We're back after a few weeks off as the FedEx Cup playoffs wrapped up. Had some weeks off just on the PGA Tour in general, but the fall swing begins this week. Not a big break. Even Max Homa tweeted about it today. Not a big break as you would like, but they're heading to Napa, California. A lot of new Corn Ferry grads. That'll make things interesting. Couple big names in the field. Overall, typical fall swing events will get you ready for your DraftKings lineups there. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I am on Twitter at BDintric. My co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. It's good to be looking at golf. I actually logged in and looked at the prices this morning. I was like, okay, we're kind of doing this again. I'm always one that likes kind of the half good tournaments because you get the craziness that might ensue. We'll see, but should be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new season.
Yeah, so. It's a new season, new FedEx Cup points, new dreams, whatever the new slogan is going to be. It'll be something.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Maybe it should be like you only live once. That's what they should do. Like, get creative with it. But that's just me. I'm snarky like that. We'll see how that all plays out. But it should be fun. We haven't talked in a while. So any thoughts on what's going on the tour recently? Anything fun, exciting for you?
The Tour Championship was surprisingly fun to watch. Yeah. Rory winning that, and well, in my opinion, more of Scotty losing it than Rory winning it, even though, you know, Rory did, you know, I mean, he basically came back from 10 shots back, you know, so I mean, it's an incredible performance by Rory, but still, you know, Scotty shouldn't lose that. And then I guess the only other thing is just kind of the live bullshit.
Yep. It's never gonna end. They keep leaving. DP Tour keeps letting them come back to certain events, but not all events. It's a weird thing.
Did you see Sergio this past week?
I saw he played and then withdrew.
Yeah,
and went to a football game, college football game. Like, dude, like that's the thing is, if you want to play, go play. Otherwise, let someone else that needs the spot go play. Don't be a douche like that.
Apparently, him playing didn't let like the last guy in, which was a fellow countryman, a Spaniard who would have gotten in the field. Yeah, so.
Nothing surprises me with Sergio anymore. No. I'll put it that way. Nothing.
I mean, any of those guys who went, I mean, they're all trying to justify it for whatever reason. And I get it. You know, you get plenty of money. That's fine. Whatever. But that's, I mean, I don't know. That's the path you chose. So go that way, you know.
I like John Rahm's answer. I don't know if you saw it when they interviewed him, I think, on Wednesday. It was just like, you know, it is what it is. They've made their decision. I don't mind the guys that have played on the DP World Tour most of their career. Like you mentioned, like Poulter and Westwood. And he said even Patrick Reed. He even mentioned his name. He said even Patrick Reed, who's been playing a ton on the DP Tour. And sure. He's all, it's the other guys that have never played. He didn't mention names. The reporter's all, you mean like Taylor Gooch and Abraham Answer? He's like, I'm not going to name names. He's all, I'm friends with all of them still. I have no problem. They made the decision. But coming to this event, if you like have never played it, it's kind of shady, he said. So it was pretty... Yeah, he understood some people getting in, but the other one, he's like, you're just here for the points, so right. Go away. Yeah.
Right, yeah, so, 100%.
We'll see how that plays out. DJ with the win on live with the bank shot eagle on in the playoff hole, but I did want to just go back real quick to that turn of the finals of the playoff, because I remember right where I was sitting at a bar at a golf course after I just finished 18 holes, and Rory McIlroy decided to use the entire golf course. And that just began a text back and forth for me and Jesse, because that's a pet peeve of ours, like no one's business. But I was telling Jesse in my text, it was great because when he, was it 18 that he hit the backstop?
Yes.
When he hit, because he already got bailed out a couple holes before that on some stuff.
I've already forgot about this, but I totally remember everything. Yeah,
when
now.
He hit the grandstands, which if he doesn't hit them, literally if it's a foot higher, it's in the grandstands. Like he was that close to just going complete gonzo. I let out a loud, audible gasp at the bar, and everyone just like looks at me like, "What's wrong?" And I'm just like, start going, "That's bullshit." And it was unreal. It was just the fitting end to the whole thing.
What made it worse, in my opinion, was the drop.
Yeah,
I mean, because he dropped it like two or three times, and then got to place it.
Yep.
I don't know, man. That was really a whole strange series of events there. Again, he played well enough to win the golf tournament if everything was equal, but yeah, I don't know.
It was interesting. It was one of those, strange. Just like, once again, like, there's got to be a different rule, because even like some people that aren't diehard golf, like PGA fans, but they love to play golf, they were like, how does he get to put his ball there? Like the rules we have, if we hit a ball like OB, it's like no like direct line back, no closer to the hole and stuff. And he's getting all these like preferential treatments, and everyone's like, yeah, what the heck's going on here? This ain't right. He's not getting penalized, basically.
Right. Like, I mean, why wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, why would you have any fear of hitting it? If you're him, you're going to hit it left because there's water right, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, there's water right. So it's like, well, I'm hitting as far left
the water's
as
way back there. But either way, I mean, like, you're just like, you're looking at it and you're like, oh, hell, it doesn't matter. I just,
here's my bailout just spot. This is where we're going.
It. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it was just funny just when it all took place, because we joked about that so many times. I'm like, you've got, and the final event with everyone watching and it actually got good. It's like, now this is going to happen again.
He also got saved a few holes before that by the fans when he hit like a pitching wedge, like 180 yards out of a bunker. I don't know if you remember that. I mean, it's like right over the flag. And then he about chipped it in. But again, I'm not taking anything away from Rory. Yeah. It's just overall, it's just funny how it all played out. We like to bitch at.
Yeah, like the little things, because us that play golf a lot, it's like, if I hit that shot, I'm like three tee boxes over, right, and I'm lucky to get it in like three shots, like right about now. So, yeah, and that completely ruins your entire round with that triple bogey we just had. So,
correct.
Yeah, that's where I get a little bitter on those things. Yep. But I digress. It's just fun to watch it take place. All right, let's talk the formerly known event as the Safeway, the Fortinet. We call it the Fortnite usually, but the Fortinet, I believe, is what it is. Over there in Napa, California, Silverado Country Club. Of course, I've been fortunate enough to play, and these guys can destroy this course if they want to. So what do you have for some past event history?
Last year, Max Homa was the winner, 19 under, one shot over Mav McNeely. 2020 was Stuart Sink, 21 under, two shots over Harry Higgs. 2019 was Cam Champ, 17 under, one shot over Adam Hadwin. 2018 was Kevin Tway, 14 under, playoff over Ryan Moore, Brent Snedeker. Brennan Steele won back-to-back, 2017, 2016. He used, I think, in maybe 17, he used the grandstand.
Yep.
Speaking of grandstands, I mean, that's about it. Griot's won this in the past, Sangmu Bay. I don't know if anybody else is in the field who, you know.
Yeah, Kevin Tway would be the only other guy I can think of that's in the field that's won, if anybody. But yeah, not a whole lot. It's the main ones you mentioned. And Stugo didn't even play last year when he could have defended his title. So we'll see how that takes place. But when you look at the course, Silverado Country Club, as I mentioned, it's a par 71, a little over 71, or it's par 72, a little over 7,100 yards. Poa greens, a little bit of bend, but mainly Poa, your West Coast Poa, what you're coming to expect. You're going to hear a lot of Johnny Miller talk, because he used to have a hole on, I believe it was the par 311. Par 311th, you'll see, and it's a pretty interesting layout at that house, and you have to go over some water, so that'll be talked about on TV multiple times. The thing with this course is the fairways are, for the most part, not too hard to hit. You can spray it because you're crushing it. The rough isn't penal, but what you have to do is you have to at least keep it within the rough, because otherwise you're in the trees, and that's pretty much one of the only defenses of this golf course. You can bomb and gouge it if you want. You can just be accurate off the tee and have a great approach game. Either way has been proven to be very successful here at this golf course. There are a good amount of bunkers around, I will say that much. So if you are missing the green, scrambling will come into play pretty importantly. But you should be able to be birdieing a lot of holes here. All but one of the par fours and nine of the par fours are less than 450 yards. Some of them are almost drivable, if not drivable. They're very, very short, but sometimes those play strategy. You're like a three wood or something off and wedge it up. So it's all about a wedge game. The longer approaches you'll have, like 150. The par fives are all gettable into if you're accurate off the tee. So you got that going for you. And I guess the other defense would be the par threes are all 180 plus. So they're a little trickier. And the greens are, to me, I thought they were a little bigger than most places I played in California. So a little more accuracy on those par threes. Otherwise, you're going to just hope you can two putt it, get your par and walk away. Pars on these par threes are actually pretty good scores. So you get that, then attack the par fours and crush the par fives. That's kind of your strategy. Simple. It's what you'd expect from basically a resort golf course. That's what you want to do here. And I guess the one thing I'll say before I pass it back to you, Jesse, is the trickiest part about this is we've had a few week layoff, especially for some of these guys that didn't make the playoffs, which is a lot of this field. So we haven't seen them. We have Korn Ferry guys that in models we don't really have the numbers for, so that'll check out a little weird. So when we're picking players here, it's a lot of models. It's a lot of kind of just tournament history, maybe kind of feel, and like ownership could come into play for sure. But what are you looking at when it comes to stats and whatnot, Jesse?
Yeah, there's plenty of course history to wait. But also just, you know, tee to green approach, birdie or better is what you're going to be looking at. I mean, the scores are going to get low. It's, you know, it's like you said, a resort course. These guys tear it up. I mean, they like the Corn Ferry tore up Victoria National, which to me is the hardest golf course I've ever played. So, I mean, that's just what these guys do to these places. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of just your standard kind of run-of-the-mill PGA Tour event stats. You know, you want somebody who gets hot with the putter.
Yep, you're going to see that on most of these fall swing events. Most winners are going to be like 18 to 22 under par, like most of them. It's just that's how they build these courses for the fall swing. So we'll see how that plays out. But let's get into it. DK scoring. I said we do have a few big names here. We have four guys over 10K. You got Matsuyama leading the way at 10-7. Max Homa, the defending champion, at 10-5. Corey Connors at 10-3. And Sahith Theegala at $10,000. If you're looking up top, Jesse, where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously all four are very playable. I mean, I would probably rank it Max, probably Hideki, Corey, Theegala, if I'm going to rank all four of them. I mean, Max, defending champion, he's been playing well too. I mean, he played really well at the Tour Championship, especially after the first day. Had he started a little bit better, he probably would have been in the mix there with Rory and Scotty. But obviously, Max is fine. I mean, I don't like to do this, but I like Theegala. I mean, at 10,000, I mean, it's hard to stomach. He's not been there since the John Deere Classic way back in July, as far as pricing goes. And so, but I think just going to him, that's probably what I'll end up doing. I wouldn't argue against any of these guys up top, though. I mean, it's pretty clear that the top really two are head and shoulders above everybody else in this field.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I want to try to get Homa or Mats in almost all of my lineups if I can, just because I do believe they are far and away the best in this field. Again, we've seen at this tournament, especially the guys you named that won, were not the tops in this field. Like, so it's when it becomes a birdie fest and a putting fest, anybody's into play if you're just kind of, you know, the approach game's on that week. So we'll see what happens. But when it comes to a Homa, when it comes to a Matsuyama, and Matsuyama's been weird lately because you never know how his injury is. It's been a few weeks off, but when he's healthy, he should torch this golf course, and he has in the past. He's got great history here. So I like Homa and Matsuyama quite a bit. Like you said, you can make arguments for all of them. If I have to do anything negative, just the Sahith's game over the last 24 rounds, he's been really struggling off the tee. His driving's been really, really brutal. But other than that, he's been a beast. He's a birdie machine, like we like to say. So he does stand out in that regard. But I'm looking at Max and I'm looking at Matsuyama right now as I sit here on a Monday afternoon trying to like you sent me those tweets earlier about the chalk hitting. Well, the chalk's going to be Homa and Matsuyama. So that's just one of those things. Like it's like when Rahm won in Puerto Rico, you just ate the chalk. That's just, yeah. Or not Puerto Rico or that was down there. You just eat that chalk.
And Mexico.
That's what it was. Yeah. Just eat it and move on type thing.
For those that don't know exactly what he's talking about, Rick
Gaiman
at Rick Rungood on Twitter tweeted last year, the most popular DFS golfers did the best. Golfers who are 20%+ owned returned 8.7x value compared to not as good in 2021. And not as good in 2020. Golfers who were 30%+ owned returned 11.8x value. And it's about double what it was in 2021 and a little bit more than 2020. So, I mean, it's just the golf, the whole
landscape.
Yes, DFS landscape is everybody is so much sharper. Yeah, and so, I think that's probably why I've had difficulty having success in golf more recently is because, like, my mindset is like, I don't want to play that guy because he's high owned, but he's high owned for a reason.
Yeah. I've been trying to change that mindset for all golf, football, even there's so much content, so many smart people out there, so many optimizers and whatever you want to look at that. There is such thing as good chalk. Now we'll chalk fail. Of course, we talk about it every week. So there's always like at least one or two chalk bombs. There's never a fail on that. But at the same time, it's like some of these guys, they're chalky for a reason. And what that was telling you is more often than not, they're paying off. So that's why we will say a lot of the times, like, okay, take your guys up top that you really like, you think will do well, differentiate in like the 7 and 8K range where there's really not a lot of difference between these golfers. Play your ownership down there and see who can run hot that weekend. It's tough to stomach, like Jesse said, because like when we started the show and before that, it was easy. If you just faded the chalk and those six guys made the cut, like I know it's not easy, but you know what I'm saying? You were finishing high more often than not. Like you were just running things because chalk was failing left and right. So it's a different animal these days in all sports, but golf, that was an interesting tweet to kind of showcase what we said a lot on the show last year. And I know like Mayo and Feinberg, when they do their pick show, because they like to pick a lot more long shots, they were struggling at times this year because they're just not hitting. It was always the favorites cashing in. So we'll see how it goes in the fall swing. Maybe it'll be a little different. We'll see. These young kids are getting so good now that they're priced up for a reason. Like in this next range, you got a bunch of young guns in the 9K range that probably wouldn't be here in recent years. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yep.
9K range, second place last year, Matt McNeely at $9,900. Taylor Pendrith at 98, Cam Davis at 96, Davis Riley at 94, Tom Hoagie 93, Griot at 92, and that's the 9K range. So you have six guys up here, Jesse.
Yeah, Pendrith would be one of my favorite plays on the board. Played him obviously a bunch toward the end of last season when he was coming back from injury, and he played really well and made it all the way to the BMW Championship, finished eighth. That was his last start. He does have one start here last year. He finished 36th. Cameron Davis, two out of three made cuts at this event. His last start was in 2020, finished 36th, and hasn't missed a cut on tour since May, since the Wells Fargo Championship, just playing really solid golf. So, I mean, those guys, I think Cam Davis is probably going to be the higher of the two. I really like Pendrith a lot. Cam Davis, you know, again, like it's just one of those things where you just play the chalk guy no matter what, and then just kind of go, you know, try to get five more guys through the cut from there.
Yep. Yeah, no, Davis is number one in my model over the last 24 rounds. And again, the numbers might be a little skewed, like I said, because certain guys' stats aren't all accumulated in here for this event, but we know how good Cam Davis has been playing. He's number one in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds, second in par five scoring, second in birdie or better. All the proximities you're looking at, he's top 10. He's a beast. So I love Cam Davis. It's chalk I'll gladly eat. And Pendrith is second in my model. We're talking about if you can bomb a golf course, Pendrith's a guy that you should be looking at pretty closely. That's a guy you want to look at. So, like, Davis is eighth in this field in driving distance. Pendrith's ninth. So you guys are both very, very good. So I like both of them. They're one and two. I will say Griot's fourth in my model. He's played really well. He's got great course history. Plus, he's fourth in birdie or better the last 24 rounds. He's actually first in this field in par five scoring over the last 24 rounds. Again, could be skewed, but for the stats we have, I think that's pretty impressive. Coming from Emiliano Griot, maybe that's why he does well here. He's got success on these kind of courses that don't have a lot of hazards if you're just keeping it in between the lines, basically. So Griot checks out pretty well. The one guy I will mention, though, that could be interesting, I think McNeely might get overlooked, but he's played well here. His current form is kind of wonky. But the guy I want to mention is Davis Riley. If we're talking strictly birdies, DK scoring, Riley's a guy that can tilt you from time to time, but he can also run just crazy when it comes to birdies. Like, he's seventh in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds, but he's also 104th somehow in par five scoring. So do the math on that. I have no idea. It's golf for you in a nutshell, I guess. But he's a guy we've seen either blow out a tournament or get blown out of a tournament. And that could be a fun guy to use up here if you want to play some leverage. But I'm pretty much with you. It's Davis and Pendrith if you have to just narrow it down real quickly.
All right.
8K range, Brennan Steele is $8,900. Denny McCarthy, 88. Troy Merritt, 87. Tomas Dietrich at 86. Taylor Montgomery, one of the top Korn Ferry players, 8,500. And that tells a lot if the Korn Ferry grad is $8,500. Webb Simpson, 84. Trey Mullinax, 83. Justin Sue, another Korn Ferry grad, at 82. Alexander Noren, 81. Gary Woodland, 8,000. Wyndham Clark at 8,000. So it's a kind of a fun range. That's where you could probably start differentiating if you had to, Jesse.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Steele, the course history narrative, hasn't missed a cut here since at least 2015. I don't know if ever, but he had the back-to-back wins in 2017, 2016. So, you know, he made the BMW, finished 32nd there. And he was kind of playing a little bit better toward the end of last season. I think he's fine. Dietrich at 86. He's never played here, but has been playing some European events. Yep. Finished fifth last week, 12th the week before that, 10th in his previous start before that. So playing solid golf. Mullinax, his course history is not good. Three straight missed cuts, not in consecutive years, but the last three times he showed up here, he's missed the cut. But 12th and 5th in his last two starts and had a win at the Barbasol, you know, four starts ago. So playing really solid golf. And then Sue, yeah, 8,200. 58th here last year. He won the Corn Ferry Finals, I believe, didn't he?
I believe so, yes.
At that was, it seems like forever ago, but I think it was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was like last weekend.
I think it was like 2 weekends ago, wasn't it? Was it last weekend?
It was last weekend.
I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. He won it, so obviously the form is there. And if he can shoot 21 under at Victoria National, he should be able to tear up Silverado, but obviously it's golf. So, but yeah, those would be my guys in this range.
And I could be talking completely out of my ass, but I'm pretty sure Justin Suh was either Stanford or USC. So he's a California boy, which might.
Yeah, it was Cal, I think.
Yeah, can help him with the POA quite a bit. I knew he was a California guy, so yeah. A Pac-12 guy. So he's definitely one you could take a peek at. But in this range, this is where I'm going to start making some stands, and this is to completely avoid the chalk. I'm going to fade Brendan Steele this week. He's third in my model. Like, it's one of those that you just kind of make your mind up, and I might regret it later, but his current form sucks, even though he ranks high in my model. Like, we've played him like he was good enough to survive, like, the BMW and stuff, but he was always high in the models there and never played up to that. He just did enough to check the boxes, I guess. But and, of course, his year is great, so I think he's going to be very, very popular, so that's where I'll make one of my stands. We'll see how it goes. I do like the Tomas Dietrich call. His form is outstanding. I'm assuming he's flying a decent plane back from Europe, not, Southwest. You never know, though. He might be. But Dietrich 86, I do like. Taylor Montgomery, I'm curious on the ownership just for the fact he destroyed the Corn Ferry Tour. He was hitting, from what I was reading, he can drive it pretty well on the Corn Ferry Tour. Maybe not, though, because like he's 47th on the PGA Tour in his 10 rounds he's played. But on the Corn Ferry, what I was reading was he was quite a bomber there. So he's interesting if he comes in low owned, because Corn Ferry guys we know just go for birdie hunting, and that's what we want. I like Trey Mullinex. I'm with a sixth in my model. That current form is great. I got Justin Suh at 82. And then one guy I'll look at quite a bit because he usually comes in lower owned is Wyndham Clark at $8,000. He's 15th in my model, sixth in driving distance, 14th in the proximity 1 to 125, which would be pretty common at this place, 12th in opportunities gained. So he gives himself a lot of opportunities to score, and he was coming in some really, really good form. So I think Wyndham Clark could potentially come in as one of your lower owned plays that has a lot of upside. He's shown chances to make some runs, and at 8,000, I'll take that chance. 75 to 79, you got Day Kirk Champ, who's won here before, Kevin Yu, Burmeister, Putnam, Cooch, Moore, Reavy, Nick Hardy, J.J. Spawn, Streelman, and Adam Long, Jesse.
When you said Kevin Yu, do you mean Carl Yon?
I have Kevin Yu at $7,800 on this.
That's got to be the same guy.
that's the guy. What I'm reading here on Fantasy National is Kevin Yu.
Because Labs has it as Carl, like, Y-U-A-N.
Yeah, no idea. Can't help you there. Let me look up DraftKings while you talk. Now I'm curious.
7,700 Putnam. I love it. If I was going to play 20 max this week, I'd probably have 100% Putnam. The course history is good. Three straight made cuts. Now 30th is his best finish in the last three starts here, but was playing solid toward the end of the year. Finished 5th St. Jude, couple other top 20s or top 30s, and then another top 15 at the 3M Open. Chez, from a course history perspective, just like Brendan Steele, but Chez hasn't missed a cut here since at least, I don't know if he's missed one ever, but 2015, he's not missed a cut since 2015. It's played every year here. His finishes toward the end of the year were not great. And then last but not least for me in this range, yeah, Taylor Moore at 7,600. He missed the cut in his only appearance here last year, but hasn't missed a cut on tour since the Memorial back in June. Did you figure it out?
It is. DK has Carl Young or whoever you have on your deal, yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing.
I'm assuming it's the same player.
It's got to be. Yeah. I don't have any stats or anything.
There's no stats here either. No stats. He has zero rounds on the PGA Tour. But he was torching the Corn Ferry before he got done.
God, I can't wait to watch him just go off then, since we mentioned him and have talked to him about this much.
I'm going to probably have him in like two of my 20.
Just you might as well now, yeah.
Just looking up his current form. Let's go. Giddy up, Corn Ferry boy. But for me in this range, like Cam Champ actually ended the year playing much better than he was for a while there. But I know we were kind of plugging him in certain GPPs. So I don't mind him at $7,800 if he comes in kind of lower owned. our boy Jan that we just talked about. I'm very intrigued by him now. I'm going to dig in on that a lot more, knowing that if it's screwed up on national, this might be like 1% ownership stuff. So now I'm intrigued on this one.
For sure.
Andrew Putnam, I 100% agree with you. Like, and the thing is, he doesn't rate out well for some reason. He's 83rd in my model, but he's first around the green. He's second in par fours, 4 to 450, which I told you, like I said earlier, is a humongous stat here. Proximity stats are great. He's played phenomenal at this golf course, and I thought his recent play was better than 83rd in this model. So I think Putnam's a really good call. I love the Taylor Moore call as well. The guy's been torching like the second half of the golf season at $7,600. Chez Reavie always rates out well in my models, and I just don't understand it, but his course history here is great. So I'm agreeing with you on what you said. The last guy I'll mention here, JJ Spahn, had a really good year last year, kind of finished a little rocky, but I think in the BMW actually played pretty well towards the end there. He's a guy that loves the West Coast. He's from the West Coast. He knows POA very well. So I don't mind JJ at some low ownership at $7,500 either, a guy that can go low, and we've seen win. So he's a guy that can be quite interesting. 74 to 7K, you got Jaeger, Sink, Lipsky, Gillick, Hubbard, Knox, Lauer, Rogers, Smalley, Taren, Todd, Svensson, Neesmith, Laird, Hodges, Matt Wallace, Redman, Eckroat, Goddard, Glover, Fratelli, Blair, List, English, Wu, Hoffman, Duncan. I didn't think it'd be this long. So Hadley, Hugh, Fowler, Cook. Usually they save them all for the 6K range, but they gave us a lot right there, Jesse. So who do you like in this range?
You're obviously rusty if you're late, if you're reading 75 to 7,000.
We had a few weeks off, man. I got to get back in the groove here.
You stop reading names.
It's our fall swing too right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. David Lipsky, 7,400, finished 22nd here last year. Three straight made cuts on tour. I think he's fine. I like Gillick quite a bit. Now he's 3 of 3 made cuts here at this tournament. Made the cut the Wyndham, missed the cut the Rocket Mortgage, but had a bunch of made cuts in a row on PGA Tour before that. Lee Hodges, 7,200, another guy. Fratelli, Doc Redman. And then Chris Goddard. I mean, I know he didn't make the cut at the Korn Ferry Finals and kind of sputtered toward the end, but I feel like you can probably hop back onto the Goddard train, bandwagon, whatever you want to call it, at a lot less ownership this week. So I'm going back to Goddard.
And this is another phenomenal region, kind of like we talked about earlier. Just get different here and get player chalk up top, because you really can't tell me that there's a huge difference between most of these guys, like at all. Like, so there's it's literally, if you know, there's like three guys like a $7,300, play the lowest on one, then go play your Cam Davis. Like, you're totally fine. Just roll that one. You're good to go. Like Steven Yeager, dude's ninth in my model. Like we talked about him. You talked about him a lot towards the end of last year. He was playing some phenomenal golf, played well on the Korn Ferry to get his tour card back for the entire year. I don't mind Lipsky. I think Gillick's just a great play because he was a 6K guy. I played a lot towards the end of last year, playing really, really good golf. I'm always a Mark Hubbard stan, and I'll at least back it up by saying his course history here, 16th, missed cut, 13th. So when he makes the cut, that's a good finish for $7,300. We know he can birdie in bunches as well. And when it comes to, the par four scoring, is 11th in this field that we want to see, and opportunities gain 22nd. So I like that quite a bit. It is P. Raj week. He's 20th in my model. And more importantly, P. Raj likes a certain golf course. His last five times he's played here, T6, 46, 44th, 25th, 43rd. So that's five straight made cuts with a 6 last year. So I'll be going back to P. Raj as well. Alex Smalley, Cullen Tarum, Svensson, just he's GPP only for sure, but he's interesting. I like your Lee Hodges call, like Goddard up. But the one I really like, there's actually a couple down here. Luke List at 7,000 should not be 7,000 in this field. I don't care if he misses the cut. I don't care. Like, the dude won at the Farmers last year. Like, he can bomb the ball. We know it's all comes down to putting with him, but he's 15th in opportunities gained. So just, if he gets hot with the putter, he could lap this place. Like, he is that good. So I like Luke List a lot. Chasen Hadley finished the year on a great note, and he's played well on the West Coast. So like Hadley at $7,000 as well. Those be a couple more. There's a bunch in here you could look at, though. But List at 7,000 and even Hadley at 7,000 seem like they're coming in way too low in this type of a field. 6K range. Who are you liking? Because I'm not reading all these.
There's some other names there. It's right around 7,000, too, like Harris English, Ricky. Yeah. I mean,
even Hoffman. You wouldn't be shocked if his back's better now. Like, that was the problem the whole time. We never knew his back. Like, Brandon Wu has been proven to go. Like, that's why this range is so just like pick your poison. There's only a few guys I would be like, absolutely not. Like, absolutely not. But the rest of them, I could listen to an argument and be like, okay, I get it. In a GPP, sure.
In the 6K range, Seung Hung Kim, butchered that, I'm sure. The model likes him. Cameron Percy is very interesting to me. 4-4 made cuts here. Last year, 64th, year before that, 23rd, 7th in 2019, and back to 2014, 26th. And it's coming off an 8th place finish at the Wyndham Championship. Withdrew from the Rocket Mortgage, but finished 26th, 50th, 41st, and three starts before that. So 6,800, I think you can do a lot worse. Bramlett, I think, is fine. The model also likes
Matthias Schmidt.
Thank you.
Yep.
Schmidt. The model likes him. You take that for what it's worth. Ryan Moore, I think, is fine. Brian Stewart. Ben Griffin is another guy. And then last but not least is Scott Harrington. Back-to-back made cuts here, 2020 and 2019. So 36th, 23rd. I think he's been on all Korn Ferry since then. But $6,100, you're not really ever going to find anybody with course history like that as far as two-for-two made cuts. So.
Yeah, no, that's an impressive finish there from Mr. Scott Harrington. I'll go backwards here since I just went out to Harrington at 6,100. I got a guy for you too, and don't puke in your mouth. But Nick Watney, 30th, 46th, and 10th his last 3 years here, and he was showing quiet signs of life towards the end of last year. Quiet for Nick Watney standards, is what I'm going to say. So he's $6,100. I like the Harrington call a little better, I'll be honest, but. Watney's another guy. He lives right down the road, or he's from right down the road in Dixon, California. So he's played this place a ton. Brandon Matthews, big time Korn Ferry guy at 62. If you need to go there, Smotherman's always been a guy that I'll roll with at 6,500, 26th in my model, 16th in opportunities gained. So, like, if you're playing 6K guys, and I like the fact that he's giving himself chances all the time to make the cut. So let's go. Benny On's back, Jesse. Benny On's back, if you're curious, at $6,500. Peter Malnati, what's up?
I wasn't.
Yeah. Peter Malnati, 22nd, miscut, 25th, 30th in his last five events here, if you're feeling frisky. It's bad down here. But, you can make cases. Nick Taylor loves playing this place. Michael Thompson, 67. But I got Matthias Schmidt as well at 68th, 10th in my model. He's a bomber on the Korn Ferry Tour. So, like that. Cam Percy, I had checked off. Hayden Buckley is another guy I would look at. And then what's your thoughts on guys like Will Gordon and Austin Cook, who have been proven to play well on the tour, lost their cards, went to Korn Ferry, played really well on the Korn Ferry, have their cards back now?
Do you know who was a fan of Will Gordon?
I have a few guesses, but I'll let you tell me first.
Cease Peets.
Oh, I was wondering where this was going. Yeah, so that's a no-go then, no fly zone.
I mean, you can play him if you want to. I don't really have any other thoughts on any of these guys down here, but I just read his name because he used to call him Will Gangster Gordon before he quit Twitter.
Yeah, got forced off Twitter. Gotcha.
He just quit it, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. But yeah, no. So the 7K, low sevens and 6K range, that's where if you guys want to get different, get weird. I have no problem because we're going to look at that leaderboard, at least the top 30 on Sunday. And you're going to laugh and go, wow, look at like the 10 guys that came from there, 15 guys that came from down here that could have made all the difference in the world. All right, let's recap things. 10K and above, Jesse, who's your number one?
I'm going to say just to be different, Thigala. I mean, it's clearly Max Homa, but
it's clearly Max Homa. Yeah. This is a pro Max Homa podcast. So this is clearly Max Homa. 9K range. I just looked, I have all of them checked off. So I have to pick my favorite. Who's yours?
Pendrith.
Cool. You left me Cam Davis, who is my favorite. So there we go. 8K range.
Mullinax.
That's a good one. I will go Tomas Dietrich at 86. 75 to 79.
Putnam.
Putnam's a good one. I'll go Taylor Moore for me. I almost wanted to say our boy Johan or what, because I don't know what his real name is. It's not, I have Kevin Yu. So that's going on here. 7 to 74.
How do you say his name? Gillick?
Or? Yeah, Gillick.
Okay, Gillick.
Because that's how I've always heard it said. Could be totally wrong, but
this doesn't look like it's spelled that way.
Yeah, it looks like Glitchick. Yes. Yeah. Gillick, I'm going to go Luke List. I'm going to die on that hill, which is I've died on many times. I'm like a cat when it comes to Luke List. 9 lives, probably about 19 lives. 6K range.
Percy.
I like that Percy call. That's a very interesting, because I was wondering that when I was looking through mine. I'm like, hey, he's checking all these boxes here. It's interesting. I'll go Matthias Schmidt. I'll go with that one there. You can play cash this week. You really can. It's going to be tricky at times, but you can. So how would you start out a cash lineup?
Mullinax, Putnam. And man, I'd like to click on Chez, but it's kind of difficult to do. So I would probably say Taylor Moore over Chez.
Yeah, we're on the same thought process. I'll go P. Raj, I'll go Putnam, and I will go with go Griot. I know it's a little more expensive, but I'll go Griot at 92. If you're starting out a GPP lineup, though, where are you going?
Percy, Pendrith, and Goddard.
I'm going to go Homa, Davis, and then I'll drop down to Matthias Schmid. I'll let you guys put the middle pieces together there. All right, now the fun part. Who you got winning this thing? Because Max Homa's plus 1,000 on this bad boy, the favorite.
It's difficult. Thigala at 28 is not terrible. Pendrith, 30 is not terrible. Putnam, 50. And then Percy at 130.
You are all in on Percy this week, so I hope I don't have to text you on Friday afternoon. That's all I'm saying. There is like Carl Yon, our boy, is plus one, is 100-1. That's interesting. I'm not saying play him, but he's a lot higher priced than he is on DK, so that's fun. But if I'm looking at anybody, oh man, this is tricky. Griot's 40-1, loves playing here. I think Pendrith at 30 is also a decent number. I'm a Cam Davis favorite, so he's 22. If you got to go a little farther down, though, I like the idea of Taylor Moore at 60. That could be a fun one as well. So some very interesting – and honestly, I'm not going to go through it all right now, but I would look at some of these long, long shot guys and play some top 20s. I think that would be a fun one to peek around with this week. But all right, Jesse, final thoughts as the fall swing is kicking off of the President Cup in, I think, a week or two to talk about. But for now, we got, I think, Sanderson's next week. So we got some. We get to play for the Cock next week after playing for the Wine Barrel this week. I feel like I'm on the it's college football season on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, that's probably a really good comparison from DK wise, because you're just learning all these names and trying to figure shit out. So yeah, no, I don't have any final thoughts. Good luck.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun, and we'll be more familiar, like everybody. If anybody tells you they know these Korn Ferry guys, they read a book and took some notes. Like, there's a couple guys that are smart. I'm not going to say they're not, but if we know how they're going to play on tour, they don't. So we'll all learn together, and Jesse's comment about learning college football, that's how I feel playing college football DFS the first few weeks. I'm like, I play lightly, kind of learn, and I'll start attacking in, like, week five or six when I know all these dudes that we can have some fun with.
For sure.
And that's how the fall swing. Give me a couple weeks to get some things figured out, and we'll really have some fun. But I love the Safeway. It's a fun tournament because it's not, like, super penal unless you're just really bad, and by then you're screwed anyways. So it should be good. The weather should be beautiful in Napa. We might get to see pictures of, you know, Xander and Patrick Cantlay wine tasting while they're not playing in the tournament. Who knows? So it'll be, we're missing Phil this year, though. That's one of the big names that's not there. Shucks. But we got that one out. But if you guys have any questions, hit us up on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods or at BD Intric, or join us in the Fantasy Degens Discord. Answer some questions for you there. But we'll be back with you guys next week with some more action. But good luck with your Safeway, or excuse me, Fortnite, Fortinet Championship preview. This was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Catch you guys next time. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun?